Today, of course, is special because it's the Lord's Day, but it's also a bit special to me in that this week completes 4 years of working with you. I began my work the 1st of November in 2010. In some ways, it doesn't seem like it could have been 4 years, but 4 years have passed. I decided to take time this morning during the lesson to sort of look at the state of the congregation here in Madison County from my viewpoint and share with you some thoughts about our work. Each year, the president gives the State of the Union address, the governor gives the State of the State address, and those are supposed to be where there's a looking back and a looking forward. As I look at the Word of God, I see that there was a lot done along this line. For example, when Paul and Barnabas finished the first missionary journey, they came back, they went back to the place from whence they had started and reported and talked about the work that had been done. When the book of Revelation was written and addressed to the seven churches, Jesus, through the Revelator John, talked about some of the details relative to each of those churches. I think probably the passage that comes as nearly saying what I feel this morning is verses 3 through 6 of first chapter of Philippians. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I certainly am thankful to have had the opportunity to work with you for 4 years. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. I pray for the work of the church here, and I hope that you pray for me. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, I believe that there has been a great companionship-type relationship in our work. And then the sixth verse says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the attitude that I have toward the work here. I believe that God has begun a good work in this congregation. And it should be our prayer that he will continue to perform it, and that performance will be based upon what you and I do. I went back and did some research this week. First, let me say something else. I look forward to the future and continuing to work with you. There are only three possibilities that I can consider where I would decide not to work with you. One is, of course, illness or sickness, which could come to any of us at any time, and I would not be able to perform the duties and the opportunity to take care of the opportunities that I have. The second is that if there were to develop a place and a work that I was convinced that I could do more for the Lord's kingdom than here, I've always had that attitude. At this point, I don't know of anything that fits that situation, and I don't anticipate that one happening. The third thing would be, if I came to the conclusion that I could no longer make a difference, that my working with you was not helpful, then I would step aside at that point. And I don't see either of those three happening. Of course, the illness situation is something over which none of us have any control, and that could happen at any time. But that's from my viewpoint. From your viewpoint, as a congregation, at any time that you were to decide that you needed to make a change, that the time had come, as we've talked about, for a full-time preacher, or that there needs to be a change to make the work grow, all in the world you've got to do is tell me that, and I will respect that completely. When I came here and started 4 years ago, someone said, "Don't you think we need to have a contract with at least a 3 months' notice?" And I remember what I said. I don't remember whether you do or not. I said, "No, I don't think we need one. If I decide I don't want to work with you, I'm gone. And if you decide you don't need me, I'm gone." So that's basically the attitude that we have had, and I am thankful for the relationship that we have had. From a personal standpoint, when I finish today, I will have preached 295 sermons here since I began working with you. That's an average of 74 sermons each year, which means that I'm here basically, I've been here basically 37 Sundays. Now, I've been here other Sundays when there was meetings, and then during the wintertime, Isaac preaches twice a month even when I'm here. During that time, I have conducted 73 meetings from the time I started with you 4 years ago until now, and have spoken on 11 Wednesday night series. During 2014, or during the last year at least, in my meetings and in the work here, I have preached 224 sermons. That's a lot of preaching, folks. I probably have preached as much or more, as many times or more, during the 4 years I've been with you than in any 4 years previously. And one of the reasons for that is that you have been so good to work with me. And of course, we had this understanding when I came, knowing that I was involved in meetings. You have been so good to work with me and to look at this as an outreach. And Isaac joined the team two or three weeks ago with his first meeting. We have been able to touch a lot of people in a lot of ways. There are a few of those 73 meetings that are back at the same place, but I would guess that at least 65 different congregations during that four-year period. And as you look at it, I think, and as I do, that's a lot of what I would call mission work, in that we are reaching out and touching a lot of people. The congregation at this point is made up of 31 family units, 51 members, 50 that are in town. Russ Johnson is away from this area at this point. There's been one child born since in the 4 years. We're going to have to work on that, looks like, if we're going to have any growth from that standpoint. We have buried 7 members in those 4 years. Jerry Birdwell, Margaret Bond, both the Butlers, Annie Russell, Elizabeth Pope, and John Williams. And some of those, the Butler, for example, and Ms. Pope were attending regularly during a lot of that time. But we've buried 7 and had one child born. We're not balanced on that point yet. There were 5 that were here when I began work in the assemblies that are now in assisted living or nursing homes. There's Dorothy Williams, both the Campbells, D.V. Peterson, and Johnny Vogler. So I want you to think about that for just a moment. We have lost 7 members in death and 5 who have gone to type of care so that they cannot be with us. And for a congregation our size, that's quite a bit. And we need to take that into consideration. There have been 7 baptisms of people who are now attending here. 3 of the Scots, John Scott, had been baptized shortly before they started here. One of the Johnsons, Pennington, Jacob Brandon, and Dennis Ray. There have been 3 that were restored. There have been several that have asked for prayers, but 3 that were restored. And according to my records, there have been 14 who have come in to be members of the church here. 2 of those were the Dodsons, who came and then later moved back to Mississippi. So that gives you a little bit of the numbers involved in our work here, and maybe helps you to understand a little bit of where we are. I want to mention about six things relative to our work and make some comments to you and share with you some conclusions that I have drawn. Number one, I believe that the Madison County Church is 100% behind the truth of God's Word in wanting to support it and uphold it. Now, when I say 100%, I know we all make mistakes, and there may be times that we fall short and that we're involved in trying to have a better understanding of God's Word. But I have no doubt from my standpoint but that I can preach anything that's in God's Word and that the congregation will support it, and that the congregation holds to the basic fundamental principles relative to what the church is, what worship is, what the plan of salvation is. I believe that the church here at Madison County is sound. And from my viewpoint at least, and I think many of you share this, I believe we sit in a position where that fact is very important. There are things going on in the church today in some congregations that really bother me. I believe there are people who are attending some of the churches in Jackson this morning who do not agree with what's being taught and promoted in those churches. And one of these days, some of those folks are going to be looking for a place to worship and serve God where the truth is upheld completely. And we are sort of on the northeast corner of Jackson, and I believe that it is vital for us to continue to be here and to uphold the truth in that sense. A second thing that I would mention to you as far as the state of the congregation is the love that we have for one another. I don't think I have ever heard Bill Brandon lead a prayer that he didn't mention that. And many of the others do too. But when Brother Brandon leads the prayer, you can almost be assured that about the second thing that he'll say is we thank God for the love that we have in this congregation. I believe basically we do have the right attitude toward one another. If I needed something that I thought either one of you could supply today, I would not hesitate to call any of you. And I think generally that's the attitude that we have. And if we don't have that kind of love for one another, we really have no right to claim to be the New Testament church. Let me say just a little bit about our attendance. If we had everybody here that has the ability to come, all of our members, if you take the 51 members and subtract the 5 that are in nursing homes or assisted living, and add Lily, we would have 46. Occasionally, we'll have several visitors. I think this morning, if I'm right, that we only have one. So if we did not have any visitors and we had every one of our members here, everyone that's a part of the family here, our attendance would be about 46. And there have been several times lately that we've come pretty close to that, even when we didn't have many visitors. I remember one Sunday recently when we had 9 visitors, and that makes a difference. So our attendance, we should be able to keep it above 40 on Sunday morning without any difficulty, and I hope we can grow and bring others in. But we have to face reality. That's the numbers that we have. And the visitor idea is something that we cannot change at all. I am a little bit concerned about our Bible study attendance on Sunday morning. There have been times that our Sunday morning and Sunday night attendance have been about the same, and most of the time our Sunday night attendance is not far behind. And there have been a few times when the Wednesday night attendance was up pretty close. We've been over 30 several times on Wednesday night. But our Bible study attendance on Sunday morning has gone down a bit. Now, in the bulletin this week, I have a suggestion, and that is that those of you who have not been coming to Bible study on Sunday morning, forget to run your clock back Saturday night and just come at the time you've been coming, and you'll be here. Let me put that into a more serious thing. You will gain an hour Saturday night. So just get up an hour earlier and come to Bible study. I believe our classes are important. We have an opportunity to discuss, and we cover a lot of subjects in that. And I know sometimes, and I realize this, and there may be some of you that fit this, that it's not good for you to be at services except for 1 hour because of illness. I've been associated with a lot of people like that down through the years. There's one woman, the doctor told her, I don't want you out of the house but 1 hour a week, and she used that 1 hour to go to worship on Sunday morning. And I know sometimes that maybe we don't even understand each other when it comes to things like this. And I just urge you to look at your situation. If it's something you can't control, God understands. If it's something you can control, think about it. And I'm not as concerned about whether you are here at every service as I am whether or not you want to be here at every service. I do believe that all of us ought to have that desire and want to. And then to put that into focus relative to whatever illness there is. I went through a period of time during the 87 days that my wife was in the hospital that I was not at many services of the church. And I believe there are times that we are hindered and that God understands. But let me encourage you to develop, all of us, to develop the idea that I want to be there at every opportunity that I can, and then try to make the right decision on each occasion. I appreciate the participation that we have in our services. Most every man that's a member here will participate in different ways, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate the way that you ladies participate in the areas where you can do work that's pleasing in the sight of God. And I realize that many times there's a lot of things that go on that maybe not all of us see, but I do appreciate the participation. I also appreciate and believe it's very important the involvement of everybody on a regular basis. We have made a lot of progress on this. Almost everybody in the congregation is responsible for something specific. And it is my goal to work to the point that everybody is. We've involved others. For example, Jacob has been taking care of the outside of the building, trimming the bushes and things like that, and that's very important. And Ken Scott has agreed to be more involved in the upkeep of the building and seeing that everything is in place and things that are bought, things along that line. And there are specific responsibilities that most everybody will have in the work. And I think in that we need to continue to go in that direction. I appreciate the outreach that has taken place in the last few months, with some of you meeting here on Tuesday nights and meeting this afternoon to pass out leaflets. I appreciate what you're doing on that. And as time goes by, we probably need to look at that and analyze it and see what ways we can reach out into the community even more. We have one thing that is negative to our work, and that is that so many of us live so far away from the building. I'm almost 25 miles from the building, and I guess Ryan and Philip particularly are farther than that, and probably Terry, you're about that distance or something like that, and I know the Bushes are 18 miles away, and just about everybody in the congregation is several miles from the building. And I do appreciate the fact that you put forth the effort to be here and to be a part of the church, but that can be a little bit of a drawback in getting us together for some of the things that we need to do. But let's try to overcome that and still do the best job that we can do in reaching out to people. We are sending the house-to-house, heart-to-heart paper into the whole general area and have been doing that for a while. It's almost impossible to know what good is being done by that, and we may need to analyze and look and see if that's the most appropriate way and keep our options open, but we do need to think in terms of outreach. I want to mention just a little bit about the organization of the church. I have talked about having elders, and I still am concerned about that. But I have talked with many of you personally. I have listened. I have looked at the situation. And it is my judgment, and this is an opinion, but it is my judgment at this point that it's probably best for us to continue as we are and not appoint elders at this point, but to keep that as a goal and to work toward that goal. Probably sometime this coming year, I'm going to preach a series of lessons on the organization of the church. And perhaps not just here, but across the brotherhood, we need to do more talking to our younger men and getting them to start preparing to be leaders while they are still younger. You take some of these young men that haven't been married very long. They're certainly not qualified to be elders now, and they're certainly probably not qualified to be deacons now. But if we started talking to them and their wives as they're beginning to develop a family and say, we believe you have the potential to be a leader in the church. We believe you have the potential to become an elder. And we believe you have the potential to serve as a deacon sometime. We want you to start thinking about that and making plans and preparing yourself. I do think we can do a better job in doing some teaching and preparation than we have done. And perhaps before too long, we can seriously consider the scriptural organization of the church that God really wants. But during the meantime, I don't believe that it's appropriate to appoint the best that we have if they're not qualified. I don't believe we can appoint men to be elders unless they are willing to serve. That desiring the office of a bishop, I don't think means political approach, but it means at least the desire to be willing to serve. And all of these things have to fit together. In the meantime, and I had the question asked on this in one of the programs that we've taped recently for GBN. If we don't have elders, what's the appropriate way? I have never found a better way to carry on the Lord's business than what we are doing here. We're using the business meeting approach, which means that every man has an opportunity to be there. And I can say to you that in the 4 years that I have been here, every business meeting that we've had has been a congenial meeting in which we shared ideas and talked back and forth. There is no reason for it to be anything other than that. And we try every time before there's a business meeting to remind you ladies, if you have a suggestion or a thought that you think can be helpful, to give it to one of us. And then we try every time after the meeting is over to share with you, either publicly or in the bulletin, which I guess would be public also, the decisions that were made. And always say, if you have questions, come to one of us men, and we will sit down and talk with you. There is nothing that needs to be done secretly. There may be confidential information that has to be kept, and when there are elders, that's the case. But there is nothing in the work of the church that needs to be done secretly. And if we fail to report something, it's just that we have overlooked that, and always be willing to ask questions. And I'm convinced that an informed church is a better church. And so I don't know of any better way for us to do what we're doing than to do it the way we're doing as far as the organization and carrying on the business of the church. There's a lot involved in just paying the bills and keeping things in that direction. And I appreciate what Donald, and I think that in some ways, as far as the records are concerned, that Becky helps him. Appreciate the work that they're doing there, and I appreciate the work that Denny is doing with the bulletin to help keep us informed. It's much easier for me to prepare that one page and send it to him than it would be to do the whole bulletin. And Denny, I pray for your good health especially, because so that you can continue to do that. As far as the giving is concerned, let me make just a note on that. I almost brag to other people about what our contribution is here. I probably shouldn't do that. But many of the congregations where I go to conduct meetings have about the same attendance that we have, and very few of them will have their contribution even 50% of what ours is. The church here has done an excellent job giving. If I remember right, we paid the building off the month before I started, 4 years ago. Because of that, because we've not had any really big bills with the building, we've been able to gain a few thousand dollars each year. And we've set some of that aside looking to the time when we can have a full-time preacher. And if there are special needs that come up, or if there was to be a tragic situation with storms or something like that, that our insurance wouldn't cover everything. It is good to have some in the bank to take care of that. It's not good just to keep a lot there unless we have a purpose for it. But I can honestly say I commend the congregation for its giving. And the only thing that I have tried to emphasize, I haven't preached a sermon on giving since I've been here as such. But the one thing I do continue to emphasize is that each one of us needs to look at his own personal giving, that the total is not what God's going to look at when he looks at what we're doing. I need to look at what I'm doing, what I'm capable of doing, and you need to look at what you're doing and what you're capable of doing. And even though our giving is up at times, that doesn't mean that I need to sit back and say, well, they don't need what I'm giving as much. It's not a question of that when it comes to giving. It's a question of doing that as a part of our worship and a part of our service to God. And so I would encourage each one of us to constantly look at that. Look at what your income is. Look at what your capabilities are. And try to determine what you believe God wants you to give. That's what's important for you as an individual. But overall, I am so pleased with the giving that we have. I have maybe rambled a little bit this morning, but I just wanted to share with you some of my thoughts relative to the church. My plans are to continue to work here as long as you need me. As I said, things can change. Something could happen to any of us between now and next Sunday. But as long as you feel like that I can make a difference and that I have something to offer, I plan to continue to work with you. It is evident, if things continue according to schedule, that Isaac and Brittany will not be with us for a long, drawn-out period of time, because their plans are to graduate from school, and I am convinced that Isaac has the ability to be a full-time preacher most anywhere that he would want to go, and that Brittany is going to be an excellent preacher's wife. And I don't want to do any, selfishly, I'd like to have them stay here indefinitely. But I don't want to hold them back. Now, here's what we've got to do, and I've told Isaac he can't leave till he helps us do this. And that's find somebody else when they leave. Several of you have indicated that you hope we can continue this, and I believe this is a great part of our work. Even though Isaac may not be getting the experience with a larger church, he is at least getting the experience of the details and day-to-day work that's involved in the work of the Lord. And if we can have a young couple like Isaac and Brittany come here and stay with us 2 years, and then they can leave and go somewhere and be ready to go into a full-time work, and we can pick somebody else up. And I want to say something right here that's important, and don't forget this. We will not pick up somebody else that's exactly like Isaac is now. I think Isaac has made a lot of improvement in the time that he's been here. And if we're not careful, when we start looking for somebody else, we'll expect to have somebody that's at Isaac's level now, and that's not going to happen. In fact, if we can take somebody that's a diamond in the rough, that's got some rough edges, and we see that, and we can take him and work with him and develop someone that's capable, as Isaac and Brittany are now, of going into work, that could be one of the best works that we can do. I think I have touched on the basic general things that are involved in the work here. I have worked with you longer than I worked in either of the first six local works that I did. Now, the last two works that I did were 13 and a half years and 18 years. But I never stayed anywhere 4 years in those first six works. And I've been with you 4 years, and I'm looking forward to the fifth year as we begin together. Many times in our audience, we do not have anyone that has not been baptized into Christ. And many times we may not have anybody that really needs to be restored, but the Lord's invitation needs to be extended, and we need to be reminded that it's extended every time we're together. And if there is someone that needs to be baptized, we'd be glad to help you. If there's someone who needs to come asking for prayers of the church, we'd be glad to do that. Come as together we stand and sing. There's a call.